Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to another program about, in the context of these programs about apparitions of Our Lady, especially Our Lady of Fatima. I have been talking about Our Lady of Guadalupe. It is important to speak about these apparition or non-apparition, because we are in America and Our Lady of Guadalupe is the patron of America. And so even if some of us are from Europe or from some other places, we have to honor the patron of this continent, that is America, and that's Our Lady of Guadalupe. And the most important thing in, and this will be the last program about Guadalupe, it is the image. It's what is with us is this very interesting image that speaks volumes. And I've been speaking about this image, and starting with the face, the face of this image, it's not an Indian face, not an European face. It is half-breed, and that means it is the image of Mexico, yes, because in a monument down in the center of Mexico, it says, in the conquest of Mexico by Hernán Cortés, the Spaniards, it was not. There are no the ones who have conquered and the ones who have been conquered, but it is. It was a difficult childbirth, so to say, of a new nation that is composed of Spaniards and Indians. So it is what we see in her face, and as a matter of fact, not just Mexico, but this whole continent of America. Look at the United States, look at Canada. It's made up of people that came from other countries. So these an interbreed countries, the same in South America. So indeed, this Madonna deserves the right to be the patron of the whole Americas, because we can see the unity of different ethnic groups already in her face. And so other aspects, it's the maternity band, that's already another interesting aspect. It is, it represents that a new beginning, somebody's going to be born. At the time when the Spaniards conquered the empire, the Aztec, there was this emperor, Montezuma. He was very superstitious, ill-fated man, whom people believed to be descendant of the gods. His subjects carried their error to such an extreme that their heavenly sovereign's august feet were not allowed to be contaminated by the earth, so they carried the king wherever he went. And so this is going, and of course, as I said, these sort of gods that needed human sacrifices, this sort of civilization was going to finish, to be substituted. Some elements of it, of course, they were important. And the one that painted this image, if the image was painted, those elements are there. Those elements, the elements of the Indians, the Aztec culture, are there because the image is not just the face. The face is the unity of two races, of two ethnic groups, but also the rest of the painting is the unity of two cultures. And so it is the future Mexico. When you look at this image, is the future Mexico, and I would say not just the future Mexico, but also the future Americans. Americans, there are no pure breeds here in America. All is a mix, and we know it. All is a mix. So we can see in the stars of the mantle are a sign that, again, a new civilization or era is beginning. The Indian tradition recognized the end and the beginning of different eras through the ages, and the destruction of a particular civilization or era was always accompanied by a comet or a body of stars. Indian prophets, even before the arrival and conquest by the Spaniard and Cortes, had been predicting the end of their civilization at that time. And we can see that, so that's common also with us, because remember the story of the Magi that were to visit the baby Jesus. They were following a star, and that star also marked a new beginning. The rays of the sun in the image recall for the Indians that the sun played a key role in their civilization. But the woman in the image is greater than even the sun. Their sun, of course, it's not greater than the sun, what the sun means for us, that is Jesus. She hides the sun, and only the rays come forth. She hides the sun, but does not extinguish it. She was greater than their dread sun god, Huitzilopochtli. So, and let us see the mantle. The color of the mantle is turquoise, that is blue-green. That's color reserved for the great god Omiachuatl. And this is an intermediary god. So this is to say that somehow the Blessed Virgin Mary is not a goddess, but she is intermediary indeed, because she is intermediary in between us and God, because it was through her that God became man and came to us. So that's all in the color of the mantle. Now the rose-colored garment means for the Aztecs she is the queen of the earth, that rose garment below the mantle. The moon. She is standing over the moon, and that tells that is significant for us and for the Aztecs. Indicates she's greater than the god of the night. For the Aztecs, the moon god, she had clearly vanquished their most deity, that fierce serpent Quetzalcoatl. That's the name that looks like an Aztec saying Guadalupe. And now we have also the angel. You see below the moon, you see the angel, and the angel is kind of carrying the whole moon and the Blessed Virgin Mary. The angels for the Aztec culture, they are intermediaries. Again, for our culture too, an angel is an intermediary, and an angel is a messenger that a new civilization is going to start. As a matter of fact, you remember that the Annunciation is precisely our Blessed Mother being visited by an angel. The angel announced that she was going to be the mother of our Savior. So it all started with an angel. Interestingly enough, Fatima is going to start with an angel. Three apparitions of an angel before the apparitions of our Blessed Mother. And so here we are, an element. Here we have an element that speaks to us and speaks to the both to the Aztec culture. As a matter of fact, when you come if you see that, and I exhort you to see that film Apocalipo, you can see in that film Apocalipo, in that movie, you can see how this Indian and his wife, they are running away from being sacrificed, and as they run away, they come to the open, woodland, and they see the sea, and in the sea they see this big Spaniard ship coming to shore. So that's the beginning of the new era, the end of the human sacrifices and the beginning of God, of a God that doesn't require human sacrifices. So this, as I said, is the last program about Guadalupe, and as I promised you, I will try to interpret this story. In case it is not a story and it is a legend, and some facts point to it that it could be a legend, and so it's not for me to hide it, because if you come to know these opinions, then you just conclude, well, all the church has foolished us. No, I'll put the facts in front of you and let you decide. And so these facts are the letter that leaked to the press from the former abbot of the Basilica. Is not just an opinion of a critic. He was the rector of the Basilica of Mexico for 33 years, Guillermo Schulenburg. He warned the Pope John Paul II not to canonize Juan Diego. And the reason for not canonizing Juan Diego, he said, would be because Juan Diego never exists. As a matter of fact, you become startled when you make a pilgrimage to Mexico and you don't see the tomb of Juan Diego. But let us have a pause and continue to speak about this.
Thank you.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Another fact are the writings of Juan de Zumárraga. Juan de Zumárraga was the bishop, and that's an historical figure, yes, in 1531. He was an historical figure, but in his letters, and of course we have these letters, we have the letters of Juan Zumárraga and his writings, and we found nothing about this apparition in his letters. And he was the protagonist of those, because he was the one that saw Juan Diego and was the one that saw the mantle of Juan Diego turning, opening up and turning into the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So, and in the contrary, he does not build the temple in the Tepeyac Hill. He does not speak of Juan Diego. He does not speak of the apparitions. And what he does say is that in his time, in my time, he says, in his own words, in my time there have no been apparition. There have no been, not say, doesn't say apparitions. In my time there has no been miracles. And I never needed miracles to believe. So there you are. If there was such a miracle, of course he would report it. And also, a matter of fact, in that 1531, he was not even in Mexico. He was in Spain to become a bishop. Now, what's the image was the bishop, the Archbishop of Mexico, after in the 1555, after Juan de Zumárraga, seeing that there was no progress in the evangelization, so he commissioned a portrait of the Blessed Virgin Mary as a sort of teaching aid to help convert the Aztecs. And Marcus Zipac Aquino, the Christian Aztec artist, was commissioned to do it. And probably, and of course, I don't think it was all his doing, Marcus, but we can see one that commissioned, the other that is commissioned, and they both, the Archbishop and Marcus, they came up with a very nice painting that we have been commenting, because it has all beautiful elements, and it is also a synthesis of the European culture and the Aztec culture. So that's the importance of this. It was indeed a very good teaching aid for the evangelizers. Now, once the image is done, God, in this case our Blessed Mother, uses the image for her own intents. As a matter of fact, Fray Francisco Bustamante in 1556, he says in a sermon that there is an image that somebody called Marcus Zipac de Aquino was painted, and that it was making a lot of miracles. So that it starts in there. To finish up all these things, the writings of about Juan Diego, it was in one century after, in 1648, that a preacher called Miguel Sanchez that wrote this, so to say, a legend surrounding this image. So the image made miracles, that's a fact. So what the legend does is to find a miraculous beginning for the image, so that the image was not painted by somebody, but the image is somehow a photograph of the real events. But it's the same for me, the importance of the image that it's there, regardless of how it came about to be. And to end this up, these facts, because those are facts, Sandro Corradini, he was he was the head of the Congregation of the Saints, he said that Blessed Virgin Mary was a legend, indeed, made up for the evangelization of Mexico. That's what he said in 1982, when there was an attempt to canonize Juan Diego at that time, and he was not canonized at that time. He was canonized already in the century 2021. And also, you can also ask yourselves, why has he been canonized by John Paul II and so late, if all these events regard 1553? Why have we spent so many centuries to find out about Juan Diego? Okay, so what is my view about the whole thing? Look, in case it is a legend and these facts somehow point to it, well, I remember when I was living in Jerusalem, I met the Imam of Jerusalem, the Imam, the one of the two mosques, the Blue Mosque and the other, that are in the place where the temple was once, and that the Blue Mosque is the Ex Libris of Jerusalem, as you know. I met up with this Imam of Jerusalem, and I confronted it with this legend. I told him, this is a legend that Mohammed never visited Jerusalem. One of his wives said that Mohammed never visited Jerusalem. It was a dream that he had, that he went from Medina to Mecca and to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem to heaven and came back to Jerusalem. That's all a dream that he had one night. It didn't happen. And then he answered me, yes, it is a legend, but some legends are more important than the real truth. Some legends are more important than real truth. So again, this is not historical truth, but what reveals it is a truth. And what reveals is our Blessed Virgin Mary, and she is historical and she is truth. Now, the way I see it, I compare it with Aparecida. That's the name. Aparecida means in English appeared. Aparecida is Portuguese word. Aparecida, Our Lady of Aparecida, is the patron of Brazil. Is the Our Lady patron of Brazil. So what's the history behind this Aparecida? Did she appear, really, Our Lady, did she appear in Brazil? No, and the Brazilians don't say that she appeared. What appeared is an image. Well, I'll say, in Mexico, what appeared is an image. It's an image of Our Blessed Mother, yes, but it's an image of Our Blessed Mother, not Our Blessed Mother as we see in Lourdes and Fatima. So how is it? So in the people of Guarantingeta decided to honor a noble man that was visiting their town. And although it was not the time for fishing, they went to the river in the hope, the river Paraíba, in the hope that they would catch some fish to make a banquet for this noble man. They tried and tried and tried and nothing, they couldn't catch anything. In the end, they cast the net for one last time, and what they caught was the statue of a black Madonna, terracotta. They caught a statue of a black Madonna, of a terracotta black Madonna. So imagine it as probably has been in the river for a long, long, long time. And being terracotta, it was not in a good shape. Well, and they got it. They got the image. They didn't give much importance to that image. They wanted fish, not an image that somebody broke and threw into the river, because what do you want? An image is broken, and probably they didn't have any form of glue. I don't think you can glue terracotta. Well, they threw it away to the river. Then they cast the net again, and they got the head. Once they got the head and saw the Virgin, the statue was all together, then they, just in case, they cast the nets again, and again, and again, and again, and they engulfed so many fish, indeed, like the miraculous fish that we find in the Gospel, and they didn't have place in the boat to put all that image. So images are icons, so they have power, because the image itself can draw the power from who the image represents. And the person that the image represents acts through the image. They are not idols, but icons. So Our Lady of Guadalupe is an appeared image, like a Aparecida, also that was done by somebody that got broken and thrown away because it was broken. So somebody did that sculpture, and somebody painted that painting, and once those icons are built, then our Blessed Mother acts through those icons. And we use, the icon is a middle, is a medium. An icon is a medium. Through that icon, I connect to the real Blessed Mother in heaven. And through the same icon, our Blessed Mother in heaven connects with us. So the icon is a bridge. Is a bridge for me to go to our Blessed Mother, from our Blessed Mother to come to me. So I use the icon to pray to her and ask for graces, and she uses the icon to give the graces to me. So that is with the image of Aparecida, and that is with the image of Guadalupe. Now, behind the image, was the image of Guadalupe an imprint of a real apparition? Probably not. But I don't care if it wasn't. The important thing is that she represents the true Blessed Virgin Mary, that through that image, for many centuries, the Blessed Virgin Mary has been acting, has been giving graces to all those that use the image to pray to her.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada every Thursday at 10:30 a.m., where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.